The one who covers the Middle East for us is David Dolan. David has been a journalist for over 30 years in the Middle East. He's written books. He's an author. He travels all over the world speaking on what's happening in the Middle East. That's one of the reasons we grab him whenever we possibly can to sit with us behind these microphones and talk about some of the events that are unfolding in that unique part of the world. David, let's get right to the situation in the northern end of Israel, there at the border, just across the border. The Syrian forces of Bashar Assad and the opposition forces have been fighting. They're at a place called Kenetra. You might want to explain to our listeners what is the significance of this particular location. But the Israeli Defense Force and their observation decks in the high mountains there have been watching everything unfold. Looks like these two different groups, the forces from Syria and the opposition, are vying to see who can go into the Golan Heights and try to take it back from the Israelis. What's the story?
Well, Jimmy, the last thing you said underlines the whole story, which is that the Israelis are extremely ambivalent as to who might win this very intense battle going on in Syria now for over 2 years for control of that country. They still prefer Assad because that regime, his father and the son, has at least kept the Golan Heights fairly quiet over the last 30 years since really more than that, since the 73 war. There's not been much activity there, and of course that's partly due to the fact that the UN has a peacekeeping force there, and one of the most worrisome developments this week was the Austrian government's decision, announcement, that they are pulling their troops out of that UN force. They make up about a third of that force, Jimmy, so that's a significant move. Austria considered to be not overly pro-Israel by the Israeli government, but not an enemy of Israel by any means, closely allied with Germany, which is one of Israel's staunchest allies, ironically, given World War II, but that's the situation. And now we have Russia, Russian President Putin saying that Russia may send troops in place of Austria. Well, that would not thrill the Israelis. The Russian government is clearly on the side of Assad, and the Israelis, again, are ambivalent. But this fighting has been taking place right along the border. Kenetra, Jimmy, is the only crossing point between Syria and Israel. And some people might say, well, why is there any crossing point if they're countries at war? And officially they are. The Syrians have never reversed their declaration of war from 1948, actually. It goes back to, so officially they are. But there are people that cross through that border, the Druze in particular, and that's a small community of people. Several of the major towns, Majd el-Shams being the largest on the Golan Heights, are mostly comprised of members of the Druze sect. Now, this is a Islamic sect, but it has its own mystical sort of version of Islam that's quite different in many ways from traditional Islam, and there are thousands of them on the Golan Heights, thousands of them in Syria, and their family members. So they cross back and forth through the Kenetra border crossing to visit each other, and this is where the battle has been taking place. And the Israelis are not just observing it from Mount Hermon and other higher ground, but right there on the scene. There's been heavy shelling, heavy fighting, fires. And all the Israeli residents of the Golan, of which there are over 20,000, have been watching this from outside of their windows, basically. And it's very dramatic, very unnerving. And again, another indication that this Syrian, quote, civil war is becoming something more than that. And, of course, fighting along the Lebanese border, fighting along the Turkish border, refugees fleeing into Jordan and Iraq, all of these indications that this war could develop into a full-scale Shiite-Sunni-Muslim war that engulfs the entire Middle East. And this is of grave concern to Israel, of course, because they're right in the middle of the Middle East with all these countries right around them, and the Syrian regime is accusing Israel of interfering in their war and, Zionist aggression and blah, blah, blah. But, hey, the Israelis have a war raging on their border, a very intense war right on their border, and how can you totally ignore such a situation? If nothing else, they're helping some of the people fleeing the fighting to get medical care and other things. Again, something the Israelis don't want, but they have no choice but to pay attention to this war along their border.
Well, and indeed, a journalist in one of the British newspapers wrote an article entitled, Israel Prepares as War Clouds Gather. In other words, what we're seeing happening at Israel's northern border and throughout the entire Middle East could be preparations for a major war in that region, could it not?
Well, absolutely, Jimmy. And basically what you have is one of the world's 10 most militarized countries on earth is Syria, with experts believe either the second or third, some say fourth, but one of the top five chemical weapons programs on earth. They have more chemical weapons in Syria than China has or than Russia has, according to the experts. So this is very significant. And they have a massive missile capability, Soviet-built SS-21 missiles. I've mentioned those before on your program, multiple warhead missiles that can, one rocket delivers six different warheads to six different locations. They've got hundreds of those. They've got Scud missiles, the latest Scud missiles. They've got anti-aircraft systems that are very sophisticated. We don't even know, but they could even have a nuclear capability. They certainly, the regime was building a nuclear reactor, as you recall. Israel bombed that in 2007, September, and destroyed it. North Koreans were involved. So this is a major military power in Syria. And, you know, these forces, Sunni Muslim forces from not just Syria, but all over the region, Al-Qaeda involved and other very unsavory elements involved in the opposition fight, and then the regime, which is certainly no lover of Israel. So it's a very serious situation, and the Israelis are just sort of following it day by day, taking reactions as they must. But as Moshe Ya'alon, the defense minister, said several weeks ago, Israel's not interested in a direct war with Syria. They're certainly not being aggressive or trying to start something. They're just trying to defend their border and make sure that the weapons of mass destruction aren't passed to their most vile enemy, which is Hezbollah, which, of course, is very actively supporting the Assad regime. Very complicated situation, very difficult. And again, I say to people, why would you run for the position of Prime Minister of Israel? Because it's one of the most difficult jobs on earth, but of course, so is President of the United States, and people do covet it anyway. But it's a very difficult situation, Jimmy, and very complicated.
Well, and at the same time, Dr. Al-Sawari, who heads up Al-Qaeda, is calling for jihad, holy war, against Israel as he endeavors to try to get many of the Islamic world to join him in this fight against the Jewish state.
Well, yeah, and really, as I said, and I've said several times already, the Israeli attitude is basically better the devil you know than the devil that's coming along. And they know Assad, they know the regime, and they would really prefer that this war not be happening and that the regime stay in power, because as anti-Israel as it was, it at least kept the peace. If the Sunni Muslim rebels do take over, the likelihood that the extremists will dominate is very high. We've seen that in Egypt with the Muslim Brotherhood emerging from this so-called democracy revolution that young people with Facebook pages were starting, and it turned out to be the Muslim Brotherhood that took over Egypt, both the parliament and the presidency, and they fear that a Sunni government in Syria will be more hostile, will be more willing to use its weapons. But one key factor, Jimmy, is they will at least not be allied with Iran and with Hezbollah. So that would mean Israel's enemies are a bit more scattered or not ruled from the same place. Right now, we have Iran, Syria, and Hezbollah, and Hamas joining with them, even though it's a Sunni Muslim movement, in the main opposition to Israel. So there would be an advantage on that side. But basically, everyone I've spoken to in Jerusalem and officials and experts say they just lift up their hands. They're ambivalent because either party ruling Syria is not good. And if there was true democracy and a true peace there, and people settled down and the military was put in its place, that would be one thing. But that's very unlikely.
David Dolan covers the Middle East for us with our Middle East News update on a weekly basis. David, your insight is so appreciated. As we have our listeners eavesdrop on these conversations, it helps them as well to understand the entire political situation, which, of course, is setting the stage for the prophetic scenario to be fulfilled, possibly in the very near future. David, thank you so much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.